Blog Talk Radio.
You don't like it? Keep listening. Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they dealing, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, might not really keep his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day, barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go, give you the best damn show on the radio, $1 million audience meets with your favorite host, $1 million connections, feel the force, most electric, most eclectic, listen to the shows where the pros expected, 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list, the best damn show on the radio, check this,
the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show and radio.
What up? We are back once again, Sports Authority and Other Stuff, doing what we do. I can't really say every Tuesday. A lot of Tuesdays. This is what we do it. A lot of Tuesdays. So before we go any further, let me bring my man in and see how he's doing this evening. Paris, what is going on, baby boy? How's everything today?
Man, I am doing great. How's everything with you?
Man, rushing today. I got in the house literally 4 minutes ago. So
plenty of time.
So I got in right on time. Or as you say, early. Okay, cool. Man, so this evening, dog, I guess we got some post-Olympic conversation. We have the good and the bad. It was a little bit ugly as well. We also have, if I recall, I think you said we were going to go do with the top 10 fantasy quarterbacks.
And wide receivers.
Okay, and wide receivers. So that pretty much should take us through the show unless somebody calls in with something outside of that. That should pretty much cover it, man. So let's jump right into it, man. Let's jump right into it. The past two weeks, we had the Olympics. We had the good, the Olympic team was supposed to win, yeah, but that was good. But I think a better story, for me at least, and this is just my personal opinion, everybody has a right to their own, you know, for me it was good to see so many black women, so many young sisters doing their thing in sports that we don't typically do, you know, we don't have a – What's the word I'm looking for? We don't have a track record of being, you know, consistently good in gymnastics. We've had the Dominic Dawes here and there, but not with consistency. The last two Olympics, we've had, a sister at the least winning gold, and this year we had two sisters at the top of their game. You also had, I can't remember the young lady's name from Canada, sister diving. And then we had the young sister that goes to Stanford winning a gold in females. And then we also had the 100. And then we had a Muslim, you know, female. I don't think she won, but she participated in fencing, which is definitely not a sport
right.
You typically see black folks in. So for me, the best story for me was seeing these young sisters do well in the Olympics because it wasn't the norm. Seeing sisters win
right.
track, you know, it's cool, it's nice. I'm not going to make light of it, but that's what we do. That's what we do. But again, it was good to see him do it. For you, Paris, what was, if you had to pick like a highlight of the Olympics for you, what would you go with?
I'm not sure, but you just brought up an interesting point. And I was just thinking when you were saying what you were saying there. So does that mean if a white girl wins on track, then white people will be excited because a white athlete won a track and field event?
Yes.
You think so? You think it'll just be, hey, she won. No biggie.
You know, honestly, I think
you know she's an American and she ran track.
Well, if you're talking about a sport that's typically won by another race, like for example, let's look at boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Cooney was pretty big among white folks, and Jerry Cooney was not that great of a boxer, but he was in a position to win. Therefore, you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you are a quote unquote minority, and when I say minority, I don't mean in race. I mean, when you're a minority, meaning this is not something you typically do, I think you have every right to stand up and cheer. I had no problem with Latino people being happy about Rodriguez being on the gymnastics team because that's not something they typically see. So it's not a knock at anybody. It's just simply saying, hey, I don't see sisters winning swimming events, so I enjoyed watching it. It was nice to see.
I don't see it as a knock. And I just hope that we get to a point one day to whereas when people win these events, we don't look at it as a black or a white. It's just Americans. I completely
agree with
you, and I see what you're saying. But I hope that one day we get to the point. And the reason why we don't have people in certain events is because of exposure. Let's face it. It's because of exposure and what people do. It's sort of like white kids don't box. You know that exposure money. The exposure and money part sort of ties in to each other, in my opinion, as far as the sports and what people choose to participate in. I just hope that one day we get to a point that when we win at things, it won't be that big of a deal because it'll become the norm to where we see more sisters in fencing and you know, and I know we had a sister in the shot put and you know just spread out
on the shot put, yeah.
You know, so I would love to see where we get to a point to whereas, you know, it's just all of us being one. I don't know, maybe I'm just having a kumbaya moment, but that's just my take on that. I see what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. You are correct, but it just gets to a point to where I'm like, man, you know, I just wish that every time, you know, we did something, it wasn't so much of a black and white sort of thing, even though I get the pride factor, and you make a valid point because it's not something you see. Even though we have had the last two all-around female gymnasts, you know, so hopefully, you know, maybe we have a third. You know, I don't know. We'll see what's coming down the pipeline because, you know, they're like 20 years old now, so which means that they're washed up at gymnastics. So we'll probably have a new breed in Tokyo. We might have a completely different, Magnificent Five, they called them. So we'll see what Tokyo brings us.
I think the answer to your request, so to speak, if you want to call it a request, the answer is consistency. Like nobody looks at black, I don't want to say nobody, but people don't look at black quarterbacks anymore and say, hey, there's a black quarterback. They just go, he's a quarterback. Because over time, you can't have a kumbaya moment and then drop a deuce on what I'm saying.
I wish we were there, but I still think we're there. I still think we are there with the black quarterback.
All I'm saying is that with consistency,
mm-hmm.
you can see the change. That's all I'm saying is that you can see the change.
Right.
And I think, like you said, we had a sister that won gold 4 years ago. We had sisters win gold this time. I think, like, next Olympics, it won't be anybody going, hey, y'all, we got sisters in the Olympics. people that watch the Olympics are going to go, oh, that's typical, man. That's the norm. That's what we do. That's what we've seen
right.
for 8 years. We've seen that. We remember Dominic Dawes. So, yeah, you know, at least the older section, we remember Dominic Dawes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's that. You know, people like you and I, we remember Debbie Thomas in figure skating in the Winter Olympics. We
yep.
remember a sister winning that. So I think with consistency will come, you know, over time will come more of a, with regularity, I should say. I think it starts to kind of wean away. But either way, you know, it was a good moment. I think the Olympics overall for me also, Pierce, I got to mention this too. Coming into the Olympics, you and I, we had discussions. There was a lot of negativity around the Olympics, and not anything to do with the athletes, but with the location, whether there was going to be crime, whether there was going to be Zika virus, whether the, you know, athletes were going to be healthy. And with the exception of the water situation, nothing really came from that, with the exception of the fact that a U.S. Olympic athlete might have made the most noise for something against the law. What were your
right.
thoughts, I mean, coming out of the Olympics? I know you, like myself, were glad the Olympics were just able to happen without all the drama. But what were your thoughts on the Ryan Lochte situation? And the fact that he's lost a lot of money now, a lot of advertisers are going away. What was your thought process on that?
Well, to go back to something you said earlier, you know, a lot of times we talk about how the sports media can drive a certain agenda. And I always felt
mm-hmm.
going into this Olympics that the media in whole was driving a certain agenda as far as Rio goes and the crime and the Zika virus. And, you know, it's funny because we talk about that Zika virus and we act like it is immune and solely happens in a place like Rio. But right now, South Beach has a massive Zika virus outbreak. We have cases
yeah.
in Arizona of Zika viruses. There's more cases of Zika viruses reported last year in Miami than there was in Rio. So I felt like it was sort of a borderline slander campaign against Rio. Why? I don't know. But I just felt like that whole message was a little bit above and beyond. You know, they made it sound like the athletes were going to be canoeing and, you know, picking up feces as they're canoeing. And when they walk out the village, they're going to be stepping over crack pipes. No matter what country you go to, there's always bad parts of that country. You know, same in America. We have the Olympics here. You pick any major city, New York, Chicago, L.A. Believe me, there's parts of L.A. that in Chicago that you know very well you don't want to go to. You know, but are we going to – will we constantly highlight that? Or will we sort of look at the positive aspects of it? That's all I'm saying on that. As far as Ryan Lochte, him losing endorsements is – that's good. But ultimately, you know what I find ironic about this, Corey, is that
what's that?
I think his celebrity cost him. And that's what's ironic about this whole story. Because you know what? I have a funny feeling. If it's me or you, and we come into the police station to report that story, right? And we say, hey, guy put a gun in my face, stole some stuff. You know what they're probably going to tell us? Fill this form out. Leave your email. If it shows up, we'll contact you. That's probably what we're going to get. But because who he was, because these are USA athletes, you best believe that phone calls were made. You best believe that the U.S., you know, consulate there was calling Brazil going, hey, what the hell? You know, you promised that our athletes would be safe, and we got guys that can't even go out and have a couple of drinks, and one of our guys gets a gun put to his forehead, which is going to call the Brazil police to do what? Investigate as far as possible to get to the bottom of it because they have to save face. And what they did, that's when the story unraveled. His ultimate penalty
right.
is just going to be being a jackass and a liar. That's going to be his ultimate penalty for the rest of his life, no matter how he wants to try to downplay it. And say, well, I am embellished. No, you didn't. You lied, man. You made up a story. And I'm mad at myself because when I first heard the story, it was something that was said that sort of gave me a pause, but I just sort of kept pressing. And that was the whole he put a gun in my forehead, and I was like, whatever. Who does that? It's guys out in the trenches that live in the streets, and that's the type of thing they do every day to get by. You put a gun in their forehead, you're going to see snot bubbles and crying and baby mama Jesus and all types of stuff. So, you know what I mean? So, so now you got Ryan Lochte, who I got a funny feeling grew up on the right side of the tracks. I'm just going to assume. I don't know for sure. I'm going to assume grew up on the right side of the tracks. He's an Olympic athlete. He's in Rio. He has everything going for him. $5 to $10 million a year in endorsements. Just won a medal. And somebody puts a gun in your forehead at the age of, what is he, 32, I believe? You say, go ahead, whatever. Nah, that didn't sound right. I guess he was trying to earn some street cred. So, that's one of those things, like you said, that will always be, that will always be remembered. This Olympics, that will always be the first thing we think about when we think about Olympics in Rio. We will think about the Ryan Lochte Lion. And then we will probably think about the athlete, Usain Bolt. If somebody said something in a sports group and we're, just talking about great, number two people, number two team. A lot of times in sports, it's always, what if this person wasn't here? Or that, just think how different Gatlin's career would be if there was no Usain Bolt. And Bomani Jones brought up a real good point. Bomani Jones made a real good point talking about Mustafa Powell, right? His teammate. And he was saying that how from 2005 to 2008, Mustafa Powell was the fastest man in the world. The hundred guy. But he did it after the Olympics, and in between that time, after the Olympics, nobody really pays attention.
Nobody
was watching. We watched the road.
And that's if you happen to turn past NBC when they're showing. Because it's not like they promote it.
Exactly. You just happen to flip and you go, hey, what the heck is this? Oh, they're racing in Berlin. Oh, this is the world championship for track and field. If you don't have anything else to do, you stay. But like you said, it's a good chance you miss it. He went through 3 years being the fastest man. Nobody cared. The next Olympics roll around, who's there? His teammate. And he completely just extinguished his fire. So if there was no Usain Bolt, just think, Safa Powell and Justin Gatlin, how they would be elevated in track and field. And think about Spain. Men basketball. If it wasn't for the USA, Spain could have won the last three gold medals in basketball. If it wasn't for those
Charles Barkley,
Americans.
Charles Barkley, Pat Ewing, Gary Payton, they all agree with you. If it wasn't for that dude, if it wasn't for that one person.
I know, right?
if it wasn't for that one person, oh my, how history would have changed. Yeah, so, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. And I think, that's in a sick, twisted way, Paris. That's the beauty of the Olympics. The beauty of the Olympics is the fact that nobody sees a majority of those events the other three years, 340 days. Nobody watched handball. Dude, handball has come on since the Olympics. Let's be honest.
Bruh.
Water polo,
water
polo hasn't been on since the Olympics.
I was watching
just
handball,
saying.
And I was really digging that. I was really digging that.
Dude, I like it.
I was like, okay, I still really sort of don't really have the rules down because sometimes you can just knock the hell out of people. Sometimes you can't. I don't know. But it was pretty doggone interesting.
It reminded me of what was that basketball that used to come on Spike TV with the trampolines?
Oh,
slam ball. It felt like a mixture of slam ball because you could just, like you said, you could shoulder chuck a guy and they would say nothing. And then you grab a guy's shirt and they're like, brr, and I'm like, I don't get it. But I'm going to watch it. Real quick, if you guys are listening on the website, give us a call, 347-637-3859. If you're one of the people that have already called in and are currently listening on that phone number, press number 1 to get in on the conversation. Again, press 1 if you're already called in and listening. Paris, man, you know, just to get back to what I was saying, when you look at the Olympics, it's like basketball we see all the time. So, you know, you're a mm-hmm. basketball junkie, so you watch them all. Myself, I really didn't check them out. I wasn't all that geeked or interested in watching most of those games. Mm-hmm. But the stuff that I don't typically see, that's what I was looking forward to. So that's kind of where it is for me. We got a caller that wants to get in. Let's see what they have to say right now. We're talking Olympics. This is the 832 area code. Who is this? You are on with Paris and Corey.
Hey, what's up, man? This is Michael from the TSA, Michael Washington.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing there, Michael?
I'm good. How about y'all, fellas? Y'all doing good?
Yeah, I take
all love. All
every day
love.
Every day you wake up is a good one.
I feel you on that, man. Yeah, I'm blessed too. But yeah, I see y'all was talking about the Olympics. I called
mm-hmm.
I called it halfway in the conversation or whatnot. But yeah, the Olympics, that's the beauty about the Olympics, how y'all speak. You know, some of those sports, you know, you might not keep up with, you know, every 4 years, like the gymnastics or like you said, handball, all that. I mean, me myself, y'all know I'm a track guy, so I mean, I watch it
right.
Pretty much. Yeah, you know, I watch it every year. I watch it, but yeah, I mean that's the beauty about it. And then it's like if you screw up, you know, you only got 4 years later. It's like it's a lot that can happen. So that's what makes it more intense. Like you know, the athletes, they'll leave it out on the track
right.
more. You know, they're gonna do that, like. A good example, well, she ended up getting popped for steroids back in the Sydney game, but Marianne Jones,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was real, like, remarkable what she did. Like, she normally don't run the 400, and she hopped on the 4x4 team back in Sydney to secure the gold medal for the women's in the 4x4. That's like, normally you don't see nothing like that. I was kind of hoping that Usain Bolt was going to try to do that this past Saturday. I kind of mentioned it. I was like, well, I saw that two teams had got disqualified that had good chances of getting medals, so that really bumped up Jamaica. And I was thinking, I said, well, you know what? I said, maybe they might try to ask Usain Bolt to hop on that third leg for them and try to get them that medal, try to get them that gold medal, try to steal it from the U.S. But – they
right.
end up not doing it. They end up getting silver, but, you know, it kind of make you wonder, like, hey, maybe they might try to do something like that, you know, try to suspend for
yeah.
you know. I would at least mm-hmm. ask them, had I been a coach, one of the coaches on the Jamaica squad, you know, it kind of would have, like, messed over, like, their third leg or, you know, one of their donkeys on their leg. But, you know, I'm like, hey, man, anything for the country. I mean, you still get your gold medal. You ran prelims, so.
Now, you know, we were talking about number twos, Mike. I don't know if you heard what I was talking about, Usapa Bao. Something that, yeah, Bomani Jones had brought up how basically he was the fastest guy, you know, in the world between 2005 and 2008, but nobody really cared because it wasn't Olympics and that Bolt came on the scene and completely stole his thunder. But that's a good point that you brought up. And I was mentioning that to my wife during Olympics, how in some races, and this goes back to what we were talking about as far as being the number two, Corey, people will run a relay,
right.
and we saw it in the women, but they're just running to secure a spot, and then when it's time for the final, Allyson Felix comes and takes your spot.
Right, right.
Now,
yeah.
I don't know if I would give up my spot. I'm just saying, I might have a problem with that. I'm not going to lie. I might have a problem with that.
I'm
going to
be honest with you.
Felix,
if I train 4 years, I'm not just giving up my spot because somebody showed up.
I'd be like,
yeah.
We're going to have to fight or play dominoes or something to decide who's going to run this race.
That's the ugly part. That's the politics of track and field, especially with the USA. With the USA, they got so many, like, they got so many people that can run. You know, they got, like, you know, they got, like, six or seven guys, cats that can run. You know, like, for example, for the men's 4x1, like, a lot of people don't know, Tyson Gay got fifth at Nationals, at the Olympic Trials.
I remember that. He
got fifth.
Yeah.
And, you know, they threw him
yes.
on the squad. They try to say that, like, oh, well, he got experience. Well, honestly, like, the two relays he ran on the Olympics, they got disqualified on, like, one, he dropped the stick in 08 in Beijing, and they got the silver in 2012, but he got popped with steroids, and so they had to give up a medal back.
Yep.
So it was like, I mean, I could get kind of technical with the handoffs and all that, but honestly, like the U.S. when it comes to that, they play a lot of politics when it, especially in that 4x1. It's like they play a lot. They play a lot of politics. You can kind of get away with it in the 4x4 because you know it's kind of a simple handoff, but like the 4x1, they play a lot of politics on that though, man.
I was really disappointed in that men's race. When I saw Gay out there, I was mad before it even started because I had a funny feeling something was going to happen. And they got disqualified. It was just horrible. I was like, there had to be. Okay, you got to have Gatlin there. Okay, fair enough. I guess you got to have Gatlin. I don't know. But I'm like, okay, we could have came up with four other guys. And I wasn't impressed with the guy who ran the eight because I had watched him run before. And, you know, I just had a funny feeling that he couldn't bring it home for us regardless. I mean, we lost to Japan for crying out loud.
He was hurt. To give Tremont Brunell his credit, he was running hurt. That's why he didn't really run too well in the finals in the 100.
Okay.
He probably should have got a medal, honestly. He probably should have got a medal, honestly, in the 100. But he was running hurt. But, I mean, I feel you on that, though. I mean, and you know, the funny part about it, though, man, like, they didn't even screw up the handoffs with Gay. They screwed up the handoffs with Michael Rogers and Justin Gatlin. And it was like,
yeah.
They did not get too technical with the handoffs. They kind of, and I kind of noticed that I was like, they was like, they just like as soon as like the guy passed like their little mark, they were just like,
right.
A lot of people do stick, they say stick when they hand the sticks off, when they hand a baton
right.
off.
Mm-hmm.
Them dudes, they look like they took three steps and they just took their hand back. And I think had they would have
yeah.
did stick, they wouldn't have, they would have just did stick like, you know, normal people do it, like how Japan
right.
was doing it, how Jamaica did it, how pretty much 90% of the world do it. They wouldn't have got disqualified because his hand wouldn't have never been back there. You know, your hand's only supposed to go back there if you just say stick. That's when your hand goes
yep.
back there. You know, you'll be in the line and everything. But, you know, all he did was take three steps. If you watch the race, all he did was take three steps, and he stuck his hand back there. And it kind of slowed you. And the women did it, too. So it's like, they really, I don't know what they got to do, though, man. But they really going to have to start working on those handoffs. It's like, just because you put the four fastest guys in the world on the team, like, you saw Japan. Japan didn't even have nobody in the finals. And they handoffs was flawless, man. You seen they got second. They was up there
yep,
with Jamaica and America at the end. So
I'm not gonna lie, man. When I saw that, I was like, "Ah, oh, man, you just lost to Japan in the sprint, homie."
Hey,
but
now
you
know
they
stuck
a brother in that, though.
Like you ain't welcome back in the States, homie. You just lost to Japan in the sprint,
bruh. You know what's funny is somebody on the radio was saying how we just don't want to admit that how fast those Japanese dudes was. So as Americans, we kept talking about how good they was at the baton and how they've been practicing it for a year because somehow that makes us feel better than, like Corey said, realizing, man, you really did just lose to Japan in doggone sprint. We ain't supposed to lose. Now, Michael, I will say that, you know, I don't have your pedigree on the track, but in 2003 at Edwards Air Force Base during field day, track and field, I was part of the first place 4x100 relay team there. So
okay,
you know, I got a
okay.
little experience. You know, because it was me and two other dudes that was over 30. And you know, that was
right.
the whole thing, man. I was telling them dudes, man, I thought I was like the fastest dude on base, and they kept saying, "No, you ain't." And I was like, "Okay, so I'll go get a couple dudes together, and we go get out here on field day, and then we tore them dudes up."
Okay, you
hey,
know
man,
them wife, okay.
Yeah, hey, man, my wife came out to see because she thought that something was going bad going to happen on that track, man, so I had to show out.
Right, I got you.
Well, I'll talk about my track pedigree. It's not one, so I'm going to let y'all have it.
Oh, no, it's all good, man. I mean,
look, hold on.
Yeah,
hold on. The funny part was I saw Paris. I can see him on the other ear, like, putting his ear real tight to the phone. Like, let me see what Ryan Lochte about to lie about Paris.
Yeah, you know, that Ryan Lochte stuff, man, that Ryan Lochte stuff, man, it was so messed up, dude. Like Paris was saying, like, they was all, before they even got to Rio, they was already trying to, like, paint a picture of Rio, how it is.
Right.
Trying to say it was, like, thugged out and all that stuff. And then, you know, for Ryan Lochte to sit up there and lie to them people like that, you know, the people lose tourist money, you know, for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They already,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, they already like to say that, like, you know, well, I don't want to get too, like, with that, get too far on topic with that. But, you know, they, you know,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, they already like to say, like, a certain type of people act a certain way as it is, you know.
Right.
And well, Ryan Lochte, you know, with him being like the, you know, the good old boy, you know, he won a gold medal for the country. And then, you know, they try to paint this picture of him. And then, you know, like, I don't blame the people from Rio trying to get down to the bottom of it. I wouldn't have let that go either. I wouldn't have let that mess slide either, man. You know, it's like,
I mean,
it's a tourist one.
I think Ryan Lochte and the rest of the guys forgot that, you know, Brazil ain't exactly third world. They have cameras as well. I think it's like here we assume, hey, where was the camera? Was there a camera? That's the first thing we ask. Was there a camera? And I think that they assume, man, there wasn't no cameras. Are we just making
right.
I mean,
there's
like
third
you know,
world
and, country. Exactly. And to go back to it real quick, and I was going to get into it, Paris was going into it a little bit. Embellishing is like when you have a hamburger and you and the hamburger's just all right, and you tell somebody,
right.
Man, that hamburger was off the chain, man. The toppings, that's embellishing. But if you
right.
had a steak, if you had soup, not even a steak, if you had soup, and then you tell people, man, that hamburger was off the chain. That's a lie.
Right.
That's a big difference.
And then you listen to the media, just to go back to another point Paris was mentioning earlier about something else, the media spin. They had people thinking that Ryan Lochte was 20 years old making this mistake. They kept calling him a kid and this young man.
Right.
He is 32.
Right.
32.
I feel you on that.
It would have been better if the people would have just said, you know what, he messed up. It would have gone away because we in America, there's two things we love. We love winning and we love for a good story. And if he had just
right.
come
yeah.
out, if people stopped covering for him and gave him the chance to just come out and say, look, you know, I'm a grown man and I was drinking, I made a mistake, I apologize. People would have already forgotten about that. They'd have already been talking about
yep.
something else. They'd have been talking about
yep.
how we lost to Japan. The four happiest dudes on the Olympic team are the American sprinters because Ryan Lochte saved them from a whole lot of trouble.
Right. Yeah,
true.
For real. Yeah, you're right, dog. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Just being
definitely right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
hey, Mike, we're going to talk a little fantasy. Football, a little quarterback and halfbacks. You are quarterbacks and wide receivers. When we get into that, do you want to get back into the conversation?
Definitely, most definitely.
Okay, we're going to come back to you.
All right.
Once again, for everybody that's called in, if you want to get in on the conversation, all you got to do is press that number one button. All right, so, Paris, before we go any further, I need to ask you, when we're talking Olympics, what?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're gonna break from the Olympics. We've already talked about what you were looking for. You know, the stories, the good, the bad.
Right.
This is a question I like to ask people, specifically people like you, who are like me,
mm-hmm.
and that you're you watch sports. Like you can watch obscure sports. When we were growing up, and for those that don't know, I'm 45. Paris and I went to high school together, but somehow he's 33. I'll just go let him roll with that. We remember the Wide World Sports, where on Saturday mornings they showed the obscure sports. They showed sports that we didn't typically see. Do you wish that came back? Do you wish there was more of that in today's with all the channels we have, NBC Sports, and in the United States, fair, CBS and NBC, their sports channels do show a little more obscure sports. But do you wish that we had more opportunity to see sports so that you had, you know, because the one thing, I'm going to go off point real quick. I remember telling people the one thing about UFC is that you get to know people and you're invested. And now they're doing it with boxing, giving up free fights, and people are getting invested again. Do you wish that there was a way to get invested in those other, in those obscure sports?
I definitely wouldn't protest to it because, you know, as we mentioned with handball, it's something that, you know, you only see once every 4 years. But even if they just showed the world championship of handball, I think that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Rugby, I was, you know, really enjoying watching rugby, especially watching Fiji play. So I would like to see more of that. And the thing about it is, those sports usually take place during the summer when – our NBA is over, and it's before football, where basically we're dying for something to watch anyway. Because, you know, even being a baseball fan, you know, you can only watch so much baseball. So you're already dying for something to watch. So, yeah, I think it would just be a normal transition to show more of those type of sports. It would be a nice break. It would be a very nice break.
I would agree. Before we get off the Olympics, I'm going to give you a chance if you had any closing thoughts or anything you want to say about the Olympics before we move on.
So just overall, I enjoyed the game. End of the era for Coach K, 76-0 in Olympics, I believe 88-1 altogether. We had that one loss in the World Championship. And he really helped as far as, you know, turn the fortune of USA basketball around, because we all remember the debacle in 04 with Larry Brown at the helm. And I think a lot of people have forgotten that, you know, because now people sort of want to make, you know, they're more interested in trying to find a way for us to lose, as far as guys only go for one time and this and that. And, you know, it is what it is. As long as everybody else in the world is going to continue to send their best, we need to continue to send ours. I respect this team for winning, because, you know, it's hard to be on these teams because you're always compared to Dream Team 1 because, you know, they're the gold standard. Then you might be compared to Dream Team 2 and then the 2012 version of the team. We even have people saying, even in the sports group, that they expected us to lose. You know, they had really expected for this team to lose because we went through that stretch where we only won a couple games by 3 points. But
right.
At the end of the day, you know, something Doug Collins said, when pros tighten it up, they can go to another level. NBA players specifically. When NBA players really focus, they can go to another level. And I think that's what we saw for those three games, is that those guys really tightened the screws and decided they were going to go to another level. And there's a couple players on that floor that I think are really, that's going to catapult them into a big season, and I think that was good for Kevin Durant. He talked about, pretty much Kevin Durant was like, look, I needed this because I just needed to get away from everything. You know, so it was good for him to get away. And that even though they're great players, it's amazing how that experience can boost their confidence. You would think, you know, guys on that team, you know, why would you need your confidence boosted? You're on an Olympic team. That should say enough. You know, even though a couple guys dropped out, hey, you're still there. There's plenty of guys that phone never did ring. So to be on that team should say something about you, but, you know, it still gives a lot of those guys a boost. I think DeAndre Jordan is actually going to have a good season too, because he stepped up. You know, he was probably the second or third most consistent player and played a real good brand of basketball. I was actually impressed with DeAndre Jordan. For a little while, he was even at about 50% of his free throws. Then I think he ended up at about 43, but hey, that's just DJ being DJ. What can you do? You know, but overall, it was a good experience. I enjoyed it, and I can't wait to see the World Championship team in a couple of years.
I have to be honest. I cringed when you gave a man credit for making 50% of his free throws. I seriously kind of balled
it's
up
DJ.
When you said it. I literally kind of like, my shoulders came in. I kind of hunched over like, Are we giving a dude? All right, so anyway. Yeah, but it was good. That was good. So, man, let's keep it moving, P. Let's keep it moving. Again, if you're listening on the site, give us a call, 347-637-3859. If you're already listening, press the 1 button if you want to get in on the conversation. All right, so we are going to transition over to fantasy football. It's that time of year, Paris. Fantasy football, the biggest thing going for guys that either can't play or used to play and can't play anymore. Fantasy football. Let's get into it, man. Quarterback position. Depending on the kind of league you have, not necessarily the most important. I think slowly wide receivers have become the most important position if you're in a PR. But if you don't have a quarterback, you could have problems. Paris, let's go. We were talking top fantasy quarterbacks, or we'll just talk top fantasy quarterbacks. Who, in your opinion, this year, Paris, is that guy, the number one guy at the quarterback position?
The number one guy at the quarterback position, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. If you look at Aaron Rodgers last year, he had a quote-unquote down year, and his numbers were still ridiculous. So I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers yet again and over Cam Newton. Cam Newton had a MVP career year, but one thing about those things is they don't happen 2 years in a row. And even though Cam Newton's still going to be good, I'm not saying he's about to fall off the cliff now. He's not about to turn into RG3. But to have two of those years back-to-back, it just doesn't happen in football. So he'll come back to the pack a little bit, and I think Aaron Rodgers with Jordy Nelson coming back will elevate his game to that number one spot. Who do you have at number one?
Man, I got Aaron Rodgers. It's not really that deep of a discussion for me. Like you said, I tend to – when guys have career years, like I'm not one of those people – you know how some people like to go and say, oh, man, this is going to be most ridiculous prediction possible. I can't predict a record season. I just don't – that's not a prediction to me. That's a guess. I mean, and yeah, okay, so I'm sure there's somebody listening going, what's the difference between a guess and a prediction? A prediction is an opinion based on information. A guess is when you just throw some stuff out there and see what sticks. You know, like some people we know that like to just say the most outlandish thing so that if it happens, they can say, I told you. And if it doesn't, nobody remembers. So
pretty much.
I say that to say I agree with you. It's hard for me to predict that Cam will have a career year. I mean, it's possible. I mean, he could keep improving. You know, he can keep improving and get better. But it's hard for me to make that prediction. So I'm with you. I think Aaron Rodgers, who had really good numbers with really average players at the wide receiver position last year, I think Aaron Rodgers is that guy. You could make an argument for Tom Brady if he were playing the entire season, but losing 4 weeks will hurt his overall, you know, when you're talking about the end of the year totals, it hurts him. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I have Aaron Rodgers as my number one fantasy quarterback. So let's see, where are we going to go next? You want to go? Just go down the list and keep it moving. How do you want to?
I'll just go down the list. Tell me where you disagree. All right.
Okay.
So one we have right. Cam. Rodgers. Right. I'll assume we have Cam at number two.
I do.
Okay. I have Cam at number two. At number three, I'm going with Russell Wilson.
Dude, so am I.
Best quarterback in the NFL in the second half of the season last year. I don't know. You can call it the Sierra Curse. You can call it whatever you want. But all I know is that man took off. And if you look at his numbers, the last eight games of the year, they were the best in the NFL. Number four, I am going with Andrew Luck. The last time I saw Andrew Luck, I saw 40 touchdown passes.
Okay.
The last time I saw him play a full, healthy 16. And number,
okay.
And number five, I'm going with Drew Brees. Number six, Big Ben. Number seven, this is where Brady comes into play because of missing the four games. Then my last three, I'm going to finish it off with Carson Palmer, Andy Dalton, and Matthew Slinging Stafford, who I do not feel good about putting at number 10. I'm not going to lie to you. So if you have a 10th guy, automatically I will not fight you and your 10th guy wins because I do not feel good about Matthew Stafford.
Well, here we deviated at number four. So I'll tell you who, I'll tell you my remaining seven. I had Ben at four. I had Luck at five.
Mm-hmm.
Breeze at six. Tom Brady at seven. Eli at eight. I had Phil Rivers at nine and Romo. I had Romo at ten.
Mm.
And I'm assuming health. Understand, I'm assuming health.
Right.
I'm not talking about real football. I'm talking about fantasy.
Right.
Y'all might talk in real life quarterback.
I'm not counting on Romo to play 16 games. Not even on Matt. I think I need to go pick that up today. I almost forgot. But, yeah, I'm not counting on Romo, not even on Matt. I can't do it. He will not do it to me. No, he will not do it to me. Not this year.
I mean, you know, it's fantasy football. So I'm not going to sit here and argue your list. I mean, and I think the other thing to remember is leagues are different. You know, you run a two-quarterback league, for example, and your point system may deviate from my point system. But I think at the end of the day, again, I'm assuming health. If you were to ask me, do I think Romo's going to play 16 games, the really simple and easy answer is not a chance in hell.
Just
say it.
You just brought up a good point. And I did one draft. And when we're finished with this, I'll throw my team out to you, get your inputs on it. But that's one thing out there for everybody to remember. When you join a fantasy league, look at your league scoring. And sometimes you have to adjust according to how your league scores. Because the league I drafted, you know what I mean? I'm a big weight quarterback guy. I usually don't start looking at quarterback until maybe the seventh, eighth round. That's just how I get down.
Mm-hmm.
But the league I'm in, the scoring for quarterbacks is crazy. It's like 1 point for every 10 yards passing. You get bonus points. We had quarterbacks last year. You know, in a normal league, a quarterback has a big game. He might score 40 points. In this league, the quarterback has a big game. He scores 80 points. So I had to adjust and take quarterbacks earlier than I normally do, and I ended up with Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck. So I'm sleeping like a baby in that league in my quarterback position.
Okay. You're in a good place then.
Yeah. Listen, you want to bring Mike back in and see if he has anything on quarterback?
Yeah, let's bring him back in before he gets bored. You know, bring my man Mike back in. Mike, you are back on. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
All right.
Hello?
You hear us talking. We are on the quarterback position. What are your thoughts on the top 10 quarterbacks fantasy football?
As far as my opinion, and y'all going to tell me I'm crazy, my opinion, the best quarterback, because you know what you're going to get out of him, and you might get two or three really good games out of him a year, Russell Wilson, my opinion. You can never go wrong with Russell Wilson. He can run.
Okay.
And he can throw.
Honestly, I don't think you're crazy. I mean, the beautiful thing about fantasy football is as long as it's within the realm of discussion, it's not crazy. And,
right.
I mean, what did I think we had him at three. We had him at three, and we mentioned that we didn't think Cam was going to have the year he had last year, even though Kelvin Benjamin is coming back.
Right.
So no, I don't think you're crazy at all. I think Russ had a pretty good year. So who's to say that he can't improve? You know, no, I don't think it's crazy at all. But go ahead. Not crazy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and for the most part, I would put Drew Brees, he's in my top five, man. what I've seen him do, like, I mean, he's always good for a touchdown. He's always good for a touchdown, at least a touchdown a game. You know, as I forgot, what was the record he had? What 60-plus games, straight games, the way he had the touchdown at least? So it's like.
Yes, he did.
If all else is going bad, you know you're good for a touchdown, at least for Drew Brees, you know. And the only thing he got some help this year. He picked up your boy. They picked up your boy, Martellus Bennett. I'm kind of worried about Brady's age. Like, I mean, I know they say, he looked good last year, but, you know, it's something about going from 38 to 39 is, like, that's just that's what happened to Peyton. I mean, you know, like, the season before, the 2014 season, it was like the first part of the season, he was looking good. Then the last part, he had a noodle for an arm. They was trying to hide that, you know, so it's like, that's the only thing.
I'll say you're good. You're good. I'll say two things to that. I'll say one, Tom Brady has never counted on his athleticism. So I think that's in his favor. I won't say it doesn't matter. I'll say it's in his favor. And the other thing is when you talk about Peyton, you know, a lot of people forget that Peyton had a serious neck injury to the point that they didn't know if he was going to ever play again. And I don't sit here claim to know what factor that played into his losing arm strength or if he was covering up what was really going on. I have no idea. But in Tom Brady's favor, he hasn't had any major injuries like that. And, I agree. We've all seen in every sport where a guy that year, that 1 year too long, and you don't know it until it happens. So I'm not saying that it can't happen. All I'm saying is that I think there's a couple things that work in Tom's favor. Paris, what were your thoughts on what Michael was saying about the Brady and the age?
Yeah, that's true, but I was just trying to sit here and think how old Drew Brees is because he's up there too. The thing that I say Brady, honestly, maybe has these 4 weeks off, you know, it sort of saves him and keeps him a little bit fresher. Especially coming down the home stretch, but as far as taking Russell Wilson first, when we get to our wide receivers here in a second, it's three guys there too that you know you can make the argument to go number one. So if somebody took Russell Wilson as the first quarterback off the board, I wouldn't think they're crazy. I mean, I could see that. I mean, I really could see him having that type of year, and he makes it up. You know, I love running quarterback in fantasy. I won a league 1 year with Colin Kaepernick as one of my starting quarterbacks in a 2QB league. I had Kaepernick and I had Cam Newton, and I called it the Soul Patrol. And I did it again last year. I took Cam Newton and Russell Wilson, and they ran me to the doggone championship. They were eating. So whenever I can get a quarterback that can run, man, that extra 30 yards on the ground at 3 points makes a hell of a difference. You know, week in and week out. It really does make a hell of a difference when those guys can run and maybe quarterback sneak here or there. So I always sort of lean toward those guys. But, yeah, I can't argue with nobody's quarterback selection except for Corey's with Phil Rivers, who that Bolo Tyware dude is overrated. I mean, besides him yelling and screaming on the sidelines, not impressed with Phil Rivers at all. And he's going to disappoint some people. I'd take Andy Dalton over Phil Rivers as my fantasy quarterback. I'd take Blake Bortles over Phil Rivers and Eli Manning.
Well, they do got some weapons. I mean,
And Derek Carr. And Marcus Mariota.
I'm starting to get the idea that Paris would take Jamie Foxx's character and play quarterback in a movie.
Are you talking about Willie Beeman?
Hey,
Willie Beeman.
Yeah, Willie Beeman. He would take him over Phillip Rivers.
Hey, I'll tell you what. If we picking quarterbacks as far as like for movies, he'd be my number one pick. Willie Beeman. He had a little ego, but you know all them quarterbacks got some egos.
And he ran.
Willie Steeman Beeman. I want the quarterback from the pro. I'm sorry. I want my man from the program that had the drug problem. Don't ask why. I just love the movie or program. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay.
One of the better football movies of all time. You've never seen The Program, Mike?
No, I ain't never seen it.
Oh
man, Omar S. Oh man, dude, you are missing out on a classic. If you've never seen The Program, do yourself a favor. You're a football fan. Do yourself a favor. Watch The Program, and then come back to us. Put a post in TSA. By the way, people, TSA, the Sports Authority, the best sports group on Facebook, started by my man Paris. If you're a listener and you aren't and you're on Facebook and you haven't checked it out, check it out. Mike, stand by. We're gonna come back to you. We got another caller that wants to get in here from the 229 area code. You're on with Paris and Corey. Who is this?
What's going on, y'all? This is Merrill. This is MJ.
Oh, what's up, brother?
What's going on? How y'all doing?
Hey, Merrill.
All good.
What's going on, Paris?
Tannehill did not make our top 10 fantasy.
Let me finish it for you. Just, you said Tannehill. I say you suck. We can stop right there. You said Tannehill. I say suck. That's it.
You know, Merrill comes out here representing Miami at every turn.
I know.
Every time. I'll be honest. We're not gonna be no more than 79 this year. That's high hope. But 79 is all it get. But y'all, I just want to say this real quick. Like, you gotta keep these Texas coasters. We gotta keep all the show. Like, hey, first, Michael Washington, we said top 10 quarterbacks. The first thing he come out like out was Drew Brees. It's the interception, 50 years old Drew Brees.
Well,
but
Russell Wilson first. He brought up Drew Brees.
But I was listening to the show and just going over like top quarterbacks. I mean, like, I'm with you, Paris. Like, it's kind of hard not to pick a running quarterback these days. Like, especially depending on how the commissioner is running. Because I played some leagues I would never play ever again in. But. For the most part, I mean, you talk about running. I mean, a lot of these quarterbacks these days, like, in 30, even if you listen to quarterbacks, I know a lot of people don't like he's getting 30, 40 yards.
Right.
These days, well, which is a lot. I mean, you talk about some of these, you talking about, like, 1 point difference. I mean, that helps.
It definitely adds up. It don't matter where you get the points from, as long as you get them. And those guys that can run, it's like a bonus. You know, you'll never get that from somebody like Phillip Rivers. But, you know, a quarterback that can run can give you those extra points. You know, I drafted Tannehill in a league last year, and, boy, I want to go through the TV and kill that dude. Because he was just – You know, this is a big year for him. You know, Adam Gase is the known, you know, quarterback whisperer. So this is a big year for Mr. Tannehill to see if he really can be a starting quarterback, you know, because there's no doubt if he could ever push the ball down the field. Still putting it out. So we'll see.
Hey, let's not talk about Miami. I have a question for y'all. I got a question for you, Will, and you, Paris. So, I know both of y'all play fantasy. And I see you coaching safe. So, what round do you draft Josh Gordon?
You know.
Personally, I probably don't draft him at all. But if I'm looking at Josh Gordon, it is going to be, I would say, maybe 9th, 10th round.
Woo!
Maybe 9th. 10 and after. But I would draft him. I'm telling you right now. I'm not drafting the guy. Yeah. I'm not drafting him now.
Well, let me ask you this. When was the last When was the last time you saw him play, Merrill?
It's been a year and a half.
Okay, well here's my thing, and this is what makes it a tough question to answer. And Merrill, and appreciate you calling. We're gonna come back to you for the running backs, Merrill. We have another caller that wants to get in. We're gonna come back to you. To answer your question, though, Merrill, I'll say this: it's tough to give a solid answer because it's one of those things where it depends on the flow of the draft. If you're in a league where wide receivers are going, you know, going quick, and you have a choice between Josh Gordon and Seattle's third receiver, or you know, Josh Gordon or somebody in Cleveland. I mean, I'm sorry, not somebody in Cleveland. Somebody in Cincinnati that's not the top receiver. You know, you might look at Josh Gordon. But if you're in a league where halfbacks are going quick, then you might look at Josh. But myself personally, if I just had to answer right now, it's off the top of the head, I would agree with Paris that I couldn't put a top 10 pick on a guy that, A, you can't count on to be there for the entire season, B, is already going to miss time, if I recall, and C, hasn't played in over a year. So we don't even know what he can really do. And let me just say this, I haven't seen one highlight of him in the preseason, and I like the Cleveland Browns. So I've seen more Terrell Pryor highlights than I have Josh Gordon. I don't even know if he's played in the preseason because I haven't heard or seen anything. Oh, he hasn't played? Okay, well, there you go. So once again, it makes it easy for me to say 10th round. Real quick, though, we do have another caller that wants to get in, Paris, from the 832 area code. You're on with Paris and Corey. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Blake Washington.
Oh, we got both the Washington boys.
Oh, wow. We being tagged by the Washington brothers, man.
Yeah, y'all getting attacked today, I guess. I heard Michael when I first called in. I said, oh, I'll be damned, man. Michael, Big Brother called in. How y'all doing?
Hey, man, we're doing all
good,
right,
man. How are you?
Man, I'm doing all right.
Your brother's crazy for picking Russell number one, isn't he?
He's taking the number
one.
I'm just
messing around. I figured we'd take shots at him since he's listening. He can't talk, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, he just had Russell Wilson as the number one quarterback on his board. We all board with that.
I agree with what y'all saying, man. Yeah, you got to take a quarterback that can run these days, man. I mean, shoot, last year, man, I say the flow with Tyrod Taylor. I mean, he was, except for Louise, he was hurting everything. But really, I think the big thing about it is, because a lot of them can't run and pass. You know, you get very few at that level.
Right.
But the thing is, you had that low floor to where, like, he ain't going to give you no damn game where he score like 3 points or some shit like that. Or also, I don't need to curse. He ain't gonna give you no game where he score like 3 points. He might score like 12, and he like, dang, I can live with 12 every week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Exactly. But that's all. I ain't know y'all talking fantasy football today. I really came to talk about, man, because I was mad, man, about the Tennessee Volunteers, man, but I ain't gonna hijack, you know what I'm saying, what y'all talking about.
No. No, the floor is yours. Say what you got to say about Tennessee.
Oh. Yeah, but I don't understand like the buyout with this AP top 25. I don't know if I missed something. I know Tennessee they have the running back that was supposed to be really good. I know he got hurt last year, and if mm-hmm. Joshua Dobbs, I haven't really been impressed with Joshua Dobbs, to be honest. I mean, he's okay, I guess. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I figure, you know, there's in the SEC there's a as far as quarterbacks go. It's the Chad Kelly kid from Ole Miss, and it's kind of like everybody else. Which I mean, in history shown, you don't really need a top quarterback to win the SEC. But that's, you know, getting off topic. I mean, what does Tennessee have that I'm missing? Because that's number nine in the nation. I mean, how many games did they lose last year? Was it five, six?
You know what though? They really did. You know how we talk about
they've had some good classes.
Yeah, and you know how we talk about teams and we go, okay, this team is a year away and this team, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time. Like, you know, we were talking about Michigan, right, today, how they're a year away. I feel like last year was that year for Tennessee where they were a year away. And they found a way to lose games. I mean, they literally, like, found ways to lose games. And I was like, what the hell are they doing? But I just think, like what Corey mentioned, they have been recruiting real good for the past 3-4 seasons. You know, they've quietly sort of started to build back up because, you know, you remember back in the day, Tennessee was a national power, you know, with T. Barton.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't know how the hell they did it, but they always had real, real good recruits. And they're starting to do that again. And I think that this is a year where all that talent is primed and they're ready to compete at a real high level. And I think that's why they're 9, because the talent is there. It's just now, are they mature enough to win those close games?
And I think also another thing to mention, Butch Jones can recruit. Not only can he recruit, but the biggest factor may be, and don't quote me on this, but if I recall, they're returning all of their starters except for like 5 people. So they're coming
right
back with an experienced team. And when you're talking about college football, that makes a difference. I mean, Tennessee wasn't a bad team. They were just a team that had bad moments. And those bad moments, you know, cost them. And I think the fact that they're a year older and they're bringing back so many of their players, I think that makes a huge difference. You know, the one thing about college football is the turnover. And every year or so, there's that one team that nobody saw coming. And I'm not going to say that nobody sees Tennessee coming, but they are one of the lesser talked about schools because they had a group of losses. But they have a lot of talented players at Tennessee. Tennessee is an SEC school. They're a big-time SEC school. So I'm not really surprised that they're back in the top. But at the end of the day, they have to play the game. It really doesn't matter what they're
right,
because they still have to go out there and they have to earn it. And I think that's, you know, that's where it gets good. And don't we have games this week? Do we have games this week?
No,
we have
8
games,
with,
like, Hawaii and California. Okay, I thought we had Hawaii and California somebody this week. Okay,
September
all right.
September 3rd is my mom's birthday. I can't wait.
What's that now? What's that, Mike?
I was asking somebody at work that today if we had a game this Thursday. I know it's the first game is usually on a Thursday, ain't it?
I'm not sure for college football, honestly.
It's not a game that I care about. Let's go with that. Not a game I care about.
I remember,
I know South Carolina played a couple times. Like they had the one year where it was Marcus Lattimore at the time, and then Kenny Trill the other year. Those are the big ones I can remember.
Matter of fact, didn't South Carolina play North Carolina like the first game a couple years ago? And it was pretty early. Yeah, you might be on to something there. Hopefully, we do have one. Hopefully.
It's either this Thursday or next Thursday.
Well, it won't be next Thursday. It could be next Thursday. I'm thinking about opening Thursday for the NFL. They won't dare impede on that territory. They won't do that. I'm looking at the schedule here. Thursday, September 1st, we have unranked Charlotte versus number 19 Louisville, and you have Appalachian State versus Tennessee. And those games, Charlotte-Louisville is listed as ESPN3, and Appalachian and Tennessee is listed as the SEC network. And then Friday we have Furman, Michigan State, Northwestern, Baylor, Kansas State, Stanford. And then Saturday is when we get into it, when you get, you know, you have an Oklahoma-Eastern game, which is one of the marquee matchups that I see just jumps out at me as far as another team, Houston, ranked number 15. Although, what's my man's name? He's a quarterback that's coaching there, Paris. He was a quarterback back in our day or slightly after.
Andre, what's my man's name? Andre Ware? Is it Andre Ware?
No. I can't remember my man's name. I'm having a brain cramp. But either way.
Not Klingler, was it? They had David Klingler.
Yeah, Klingler. Isn't he still there?
No. As far as coach,
isn't he the coach at Houston?
No.
No. I know Kingsbury.
Tom Herman. You know what? I'm tripping. I'm tripping. It's the old Ohio State assistant, Tom Herman.
Yeah.
It's Herman. Yeah.
Klingler's
you
at
know
Tech.
What? I think Herman should have left last year. I think so too. I honestly believe it's striking when the iron is hot, and when you get those programs like Houston, and you know you can hit that one magical year, it usually don't last. And last year he could have got a whole lot of real good jobs. So I think he should have left last season. But we'll see. Maybe old Herman knows what the heck he's doing down there. But I think I would have bounced. I know I would have left.
You know what
Blake,
I think?
Stand by.
Y'all want to hear a bold prediction? Y'all gonna think I'm crazy, man. But I think Herman will leave this year. I don't know where he'll go, but he'll go to the biggest schools. I think he's a really good coach. But I think Art Brown will probably.
I think it's a good prediction that Tom Herman will leave.
I'm talking about if Paris caught it. Yeah, I'm talking about Art Briles. He's probably gonna be coaching U of H again. Why?
Briles is gonna be Division II or Division III. He needs some time. He needs a couple years to lay low.
Yep.
Dude, I'm not saying that the man isn't a good coach. I'm simply saying if he goes Division I, he's gonna go to a desperate Division I school on the lower rung because no school worth its salt is going to hire this guy right now. He's hot, and he's bringing the NCAA eyes with him. Nobody wants him on their staff right now.
That's not what he think, apparently. If y'all see his little interviews and everything, he think he's going to be coaching next fall.
You know what he's supposed to say. Josh Gordon said he was going to play. Le'Veon Bell said he wasn't going to have the game at all. Le'Veon Bell said, I'm not going to be fitted at all.
Le'Veon Bell needs to stop talking. Did you guys see the video where he basically told on himself for when the last time he smoked weed and he had to delete it?
Something like that. He posted it on Twitter, didn't he? But
he posted a video basically admitting that he smoked and I want to say it was December. But he had actually got caught, and I believe in October. So, yeah, he needs to stop. He needs to stop talking. Because when you listen to Le'Veon Bell talk, he's a very convincing guy. I mean, when you listen to him talk, you believe what he said. You know, he's articulate dude. Sounds like he got his head on straight, but, nah, he's an idiot.
With that said, Blake, stand by for me. We're down for our last 18 minutes. We'll come back to you. We got to get into it because we're down against the clock, Paris. Let's go to the halfbacks real quick. Who do you have as your top 10 halfbacks? Oh, damn. Well, I guess I got halfbacks. Anyway, I got my halfbacks ready for next week. Let's go wide receiver. I'm going to have to do something on the fly here. Who do you have as your top wide receivers?
I'm going to run down my top 10 and do this real quick because I know – so we can get the guys back in so they can comment on this. PPR format, fellas. My top three, of course, AB84, number one. I'm going Beckham second and Julio third. You can flip that. I'm still debating on the Beckham-Julio thing. I think I just want Beckham because I've never had him, and so when he scores, I feel happy about him being a fun boy. I don't know. So I have those as the top three. Number four, I'll make the Texas fans happy. I have Hopkins. Number five, Dez. Six, A.J. Green. Seven, Brandon Cooks. Eight, Allen Robinson. Nine, Brandon Marshall. And 10, Jordy Nelson. That's how I'm bracketing up my top 10 PPR this year.
Okay. Well, I was trying to slap something together while you were talking. I have A.B. number one.
Mm-hmm.
I have show number two, Odell three, D-Hop four. I have Dez five. I heard you. I'm not sure where you had him.
I had AJ Green
six. At seven, I had Brandon Marshall, actually. I think Brandon Marshall is the number one guy there. I think he has a good year. At eight, I had Jordy Nelson. And I didn't get to 9, 10. Man, there's a part of me, that really wants to put, I'm just going to jump to 10, that really wants to put our homeboy, our dude, Alshon Jeffrey at 10. I just, man, his health just scares me. I'm going to go Brandon Cooks 9, and I'm going to go Amari Cooper number 10. I'm going to put Amari Cooper 10.
You know what? I wanted to put Alshon
Although
Jeffrey
I forgot
also,
Allen Robinson.
And you know what? The hardest part for me ranking is when I get to ranking guys for my team. I'm not going to lie because I'm always trying to make sure that I'm not being a homer. So sometimes I draw them down too far. You know, but
yeah,
I'm always afraid I'm being that guy. So I try to – I mean, all the years Matt Forte was in Chicago, only had 1 year in fantasy. But every time I got ready to draft him, I was like, okay, should I really take this dude or am I drafting him because he's a Bear? So I'd always be like, okay, forget it, I won't take him. Same thing with Brandon Marshall. I've only had him 1 year when he was a Bear. It was the year that he got hurt in – at, like, his worst year. So that's what I get for that. But, yeah, I really did want to put him – at 10 over Jordy Nelson. But to avoid the homerism, I stuck Nelson at 10, Brandon Marshall at 9, and I also have Brandon Cooks in there because I think Cooks is going to be a real monster this year. But
I understand.
This before we go back to the calls. One guy that might not be in the top 10 – that I hope to get in every league, as always, is Julian Edelman. I will always take him as my number two wide receiver. I pray that I come around after getting one of these guys and can still get Julian Edelman. I'll find
Now, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, real quick, before we bring the guys back in here for the last few minutes. In one league, I keep a league, and it's according to the draft round. Jordan Reed, 14th round pick was what's my man's name from Buffalo? I drafted him in the 14th round quarterback.
Tyrod Taylor,
and then a dude dropped right before the playoffs. He dropped. I'm having a brain cramp. You just said his name, the wide receiver from New England,
Julian Edelman.
I picked up Julian Edelman, and that would cost me in my league. In the league I run, when you pick up a free agent, you can keep him, but it costs you a fifth-round pick. So those are my really top three options. Julian Edelman for a fifth, Jordan Reed for a 13th, and my man whose name I keep forgetting for a 14th, the quarterback from Buffalo. I was thinking about going 13 and 14, and then the more I thought about it, I'm like, Edelman at a fifth is a pretty nice premium. You can keep Reed at 13 and Edelman at 5. You can always come back and get a quarterback. But I'm expecting big things from him as well, even though I can't remember his name for whatever reason.
I would keep Edelman.
Keeping Reed, bro. Reed for 13. Reed for 13. Round pick is a 9.
Okay. Edelman and Reed then.
Yeah, Reed is an easy choice. You're not going to get a top tight end in the 13th round.
Right.
You're not. You can always get a quarterback. Oh, I don't know if anybody watched the Little League World Series. My man in an elimination game just hit a walk-off home run, Tyler Jones from Tennessee. Speaking of Tennessee, just hit a walk-off home run. It's good to see, man. Good to see the kids out there having a good time. Let's bring the fellas back in one at a time so we can keep it moving. We've got Michael Washington. Let's bring him back in. Michael, you are back on with Harris and Corey. Top
All
right. Favorites, concerns. You have a list. What you got for us?
I've chosen Keenan Allen in a couple of drafts.
Last
couple of years. One season, I believe it was his rookie season, or was it his second season? He went off towards the end of the year. And but last year he didn't. Would he be a good number two wide receiver?
Let me tell you something. Keenan Allen is a haul. Last year he was on a go look at his numbers last year before he got hurt. He was going to lead the league in receptions. I would gladly take Keenan Allen in the second round as my number two receiver.
He just needs to stay healthy. That's his only issue.
That's it. I mean, even, you know, even if you find yourself in a position in the first round where all the hog wide receivers are gone and you end up taking, you know, one of the few big running backs like Todd Gurley or David Johnson or maybe Le'Veon Bell if you want to live a little dangerous, and you come back around and it's time to get your top receiver, if you got Keenan Allen to pair with one of those guys, I sleep good at night. If I started out the draft with Todd Gurley and Keenan Allen, I definitely could live with that, make a run.
Okay, cool,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, go check his numbers out, though, Mike, and look what he did. The only thing that stopped him was his injury. That's
okay.
It.
Because I know that dude, he can ball. I mean, he definitely outplayed his rookie contract. But, you know, he definitely, dude can ball. It's just, like you said, he get hurt a lot. And I was just wondering, How good of a number two would he be? A good number two wide receiver? Because I was planning on this year, I was planning on going against the grain and trying to get two hard wide receivers in my first two picks. Like pick the top wide receiver I can.
That's not going against the grain. That's how you win leagues. I started out the league last year. I had the number 9 pick. And it came up to me, I had Antonio Brown. I took him. When I came back around, I took Julio Jones. And when I came back around the third time, I took another wide receiver, and I killed him, dude. In another league this year, we get the cap keepers. I had Antonio Brown. Last year, I traded Matt Forte for Julio Jones. Yeah, I fleeced that dude. So I went into the season with Antonio Brown and Julio Jones, and my first two picks was Keenan Allen and Brandon Cooks. So each week, I started Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Keenan Allen, and Brandon Cooks. And I feel real good about that.
Oh, yeah. You're going to do some damage. You're going to definitely do some damage, though. I'm going to take that advice, though, man. I'm going to definitely do that. I'm glad that, because I know you're real big on fantasy. Because, I mean, I play it just to, you know, just to be playing it. But, you know, I don't really be, like, paying attention to something like that. But that's good, though. I'm trying to bust some heads this year, so I'm definitely going to
You'll
do
be
it.
Fine. Check this out. Okay. Last year, in 8 games, Keenan Allen had 67 receptions in 8 games.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
So that lets you know what he was about
Rivers
to do.
Is his quarterback, right? Phillip Rivers is still his quarterback, right? Give
yeah,
my man some love. Come on, Pete. Give my man some love.
Unless he gets points for points. I give that bum nothing. I give him not a.
Oh, man.
So, yes,
that's entertainment.
Keenan Allen is a good guy to have.
All right. I'll be looking for him.
Let's do this real quick.
I'm looking for him in the second round.
Yeah, definitely grab him.
All right. Hey, Mike, we want to appreciate you for calling in, man. We're down to our last few minutes, brother. I appreciate you. Hopefully you'll call back in next week. And get back in again next week. We're going to go halfbacks and tight ends next week, Paris?
Yeah, we do halfbacks and tight ends. That's fine.
Halfbacks and tight ends next week. Okay, cool. We'll get into it a little bit more next week. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling in, brother. We appreciate you.
Thanks for calling, bro.
I appreciate y'all, fellas.
All right. All right,
now, before we get out of here, Paris, let's bring Blake back in as well. Let's get him in the other half of the Washington plant. Blake. What is going on? You're back on with Paris and Corey. We're down to our last few minutes. What were your thoughts on the top 10 wide receivers, and do you have your own list?
I didn't hear – I don't remember hearing Demaryius Thomas or Fitz in y'all's list. I mean, I guess that's fine.
No.
I mean, five receivers is stacked, man. So I can't really argue that. But that's probably – I probably would have one of them before Brandon Cooks, but I understand it's a prediction. So, yeah, you know.
I'll say this about my list. I kind of threw it together on the fly. But fantasy football, for those that have been playing for years, will tell you that times are changing. You know, if you even go back just three years ago, I would have drafted halfback, halfback, halfback. That was my strategy. Halfback, halfback, halfback. And now the way that the NFL – I don't want to say the NFL, but the way that teams have now gone to this running back by committee type of deal, or I don't even want to call it a committee, where you are splitting carries. Now cats are going receiver, receiver, receiver.
and cats are living with guys like Danny Woodhead because they might get six receptions a game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get 30 running yards and another 40, another 40 off receiving, that's seven. You add six receptions, you're already at 13 points with Danny Woodhead. Cats are living with that at the halfback position. Again, depends on the kind of league you're in. You got to make sure that, I'm in a league, for example, where it's non-PPR, and it took me three rounds before I realized, dude, you're drafting a PPR. I had two of the better receivers in the league, but it didn't matter because it was a non-PPR. So they'd score, and it was no bonuses. So they'd score, they'd get 111 yards receiving. I got 11 points. Oh my God! And where I should have been, and I should have been going halfback. I went receiver. So there's plenty of good receivers. Like you said, nobody mentioned Keenan Allen. Man, you can make an argument for Keenan Allen being the top 10 beyond a shadow of a doubt. If that dude is healthy, and Phillip Rivers is flinging it around, he's there. Neither one of us missing Allen Robinson in Jacksonville. Another guy that
I think
is going to probably put up.
My
thing for receivers has always been I kind of like going with guys that don't really have a legit number two, kind of like Hopkins had last year, kind of like Julio Jones has had for the past few years. So this year, my sleeper to have like a huge season would be a guy like AJ Green, just because he's talented enough, and he has a rapport with the quarterback. And you know what I'm saying? I think he'll have like I can see something like 1,500 yards, leads toward the top of the league in touchdowns, top three in touchdowns. I can see this year for AJ Green. A career.
My sleeper wide receiver, Dante Moncrief. I think this is the year Dante Moncrief can break out.
Hey, look, yeah, I agree.
It's only a matter of time.
He was going to be real good early in the season last year, man. But then he just kind of fell off once the Patriots started doing bad, and the injuries kind of mounted up. But he's a real good receiver.
Yeah, I like that dude this year. I'm just ready to draft next weekend. I can't wait. I'm doing a Facebook Live video in the sports group this week to determine our draft order. And, yeah, I decided I'm going to do it like that. I'm going to put dominoes in a hat and pull, and that's how we're going to determine the draft order. So that'll be fun. And I'm just ready for September 3rd because we got college football. I got three drafts and my mom's birthday party. But I told her she got to stall me out until I get through my drafts.
Life gets back to normal again when football starts.
And NBA is right around the corner, and I can't wait. I really can't wait.
It's the NBA season. We'll talk about how boring the season is going to be on another day. Kevin Durant, the move to Golden State. Well, I guess that's a topic for another day.
It's not going to be boring. I know we're going to get into it toward basketball season. It's not going to be boring because when I look at it, there's only about six teams an entire NBA that right now I go have a snowball chance that of making the playoffs. It's only six teams that I feel like, okay, they're not making the playoffs no matter what the heck happens. Everybody else I can make a case for, or I can make a case against, except for, like the Golden State, the Cleveland, a couple of those squads. But otherwise, I think it's going to be a very competitive season, because I look out in the East just real quick, besides New Jersey, Philadelphia, and maybe Orlando, I could make a case that everybody else could make the playoffs. Every other team, you can make a case that they can make the playoffs. So, and when I look out west, you have the Lakers, you have the Suns, and Sacramento. But besides that, could everybody else possibly make the playoffs? If everything breaks right for them, they stay healthy, and a couple of teams have injury. I think so. So I think we're in for a hell of a season, though. Besides, Golden State and Cleveland doing what they do. Corey?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I hit the mute button on accident. With that said, we got to get up out of here. We are down to our last few seconds of the show. I want to thank the Washington brothers for calling, and Merrill, you called in as well. We had other people calling in and listening that didn't get in on the conversation, but they called in. We appreciate it. Hopefully next week we'll get everybody's call back. We can do it all over again. Paris, until next week, my man, we are out of here.
Peace.
Also, I don't know what's up with the music this week. The studio was tripping, so we had no music. So with that said, we are going to quietly get out of here this week. There we go. We got music. We are out of here. We'll holler at everybody next week. Peace.
Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they dealing. Can't